With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined today by Derek Brown and Andrew Erickson. We are talking about some must-draft players. We are, you know, not entirely out of, like, rookie draft season. That's still going on a lot. Obviously, it's only, you know, week two since the NFL draft. But this is really the time where you start to transition and really dive into 2024 fantasy football drafts. It's a really fun time of year getting to spend the next few months really prepping for what you want your rankings to look like, what you want your team to look like, what you want your strategy to look like. So we are kind of starting off on that journey here today, in a sense, like I said, with some of our must-draft players. We're going to be talking about league winners, boring bets, sleepers, deep sleepers. Who are the guys that we are targeting in our 2024 fantasy drafts? Just to let everybody know, I've said it a couple times, all of our early 2024 consensus rankings and tiers can be found at fantasypros.com/rankings. Again, that's fantasypros.com/rankings. You can navigate from there to whatever type of league you play in various scoring formats. So be sure to check that out for your sort of early looks at our rankings. Let's dive right in. We're going to start with sort of the, you know, some people might call it the boring vets. I'm going to call them the reliable vets, the guys, you know, the safety nets, as our producer referred to them, the guys that year in and year out, you know, you can rely on. D-Bro, who are you looking at here?
I mean, the three pack of stable guys I got to talk about here is Derrick Henry, Joe Mixon, and DK Metcalf, man. Derrick Henry has just been the ultimate consistent running back. Every year we talk about he's going to fall off, he's going to fall off, he's going to fall off. I'm not betting on it this year. I think Derrick Henry, the train keeps rolling, man. And the reason I'm willing to make that bet yet again with Baltimore and the change of scenery is we haven't seen any fall off of Derrick Henry's tackle breaking metrics, even last year. And people could talk about, oh, well, he wasn't the Derrick Henry of old. I will adamantly push back against that. He was 9th in explosive run rate and 11th in yards after contact per attempt. I don't care who you are. Those numbers play up. So you're telling me he goes to Baltimore and all of those running backs, everybody on that roster combined for 20 rushing touchdowns this year? Dude, I had to head over to Betting Pros yesterday, and I bet the over at plus money on the 10.5 rushing touchdowns. He's going to crush this year. The next guy, like I talked about, Joe Mixon, man. And this almost makes me feel weird. Like, I've never been this into Joe Mixon entering a fantasy season as I think I'm going to be this year. And I know people look, oh, he's going from Cincinnati to Houston. They gave him the bag. They gave him a contract. And what we saw Devin Singletary do last year, weeks 9 through 18, he averaged 19 touches, almost 90 total yards per game. Do we not think that Joe Mixon is going to even eclipse those numbers? As well as being a guy over the last 3 years, RB11, RB7, RB5. He's going to be an RB1 in my ranks this year. I think he has top five upside to crush in this offense. And DK Metcalf, if you're going to make the bet of the stable guy, is DK Metcalf probably going to end up the year as a top five, top eight wide receiver? No. But am I getting and paying for steady wide receiver two production? Yes. Am I going to probably get that? Absolutely yes. He's been wide receiver 22. Wide receiver 24 and wide receiver 20 over the last 3 seasons. And the big thing that I want to talk about with DK Metcalf is not even a DK Metcalf-centric piece. The Seattle offensive line is much improved this offseason. Now, yes, they're betting on a few bounce backs from certain guys, but addressing the guard positions, the turnover at center. And if you look at the splits last year for Geno Smith, under pressure, 24th in yards per attempt, 22nd in big-time throw rate. When he was in clean pockets, Geno was still Chef Geno. He was 5th best in yards per attempt and had the highest big-time throw rate in the NFL. So if we get a better Seattle offensive line this year, DK Metcalf is going to be a locked-in wide receiver too yet again. But maybe we see a little bit more upside.
Those who are watching us on YouTube might notice that I had looked pretty confused during that Derrick Henry. Did you say that the over was plus money on the rushing touchdowns for him?
The over 10.5 is plus 120 to plus 130. I tweeted it out yesterday. I was like, I can't bet this fast enough, man.
To me, that is strictly a bet on is he healthy.
Yes,
if he plays the entire season, I will bet literally any amount of money that he goes over 10.5 touchdowns. I mean, the Raven, I've said this before, like back when they first signed him, like, they don't want to run with Lamar close. They would prefer to run with their running backs and let them do the scoring of touchdowns. And the guys who did that last year, A, weren't as good as Derrick Henry is, and B, aren't there anymore. And it's still like going to be a really, really good offense that's going to score a lot of touchdowns. I'm really surprised that that number is plus money. Like I said, if you're telling me he plays the entire season, I would think he's much closer to 15 or more rushing touchdowns than 10. Like I'm going to be having a lot of Derrick Henry on my rosters this year. I can guarantee it. Erickson, I know Joe Mixon is a name that you were considering picking for this segment as well. That's somebody you agree on.
I do. Yeah, I think that he fits in with what they want to do in Houston offensively under Bobby Slowick. You look at the offensive line for the Houston Texans last year, super injured, and CJ Stroud was still good. So now that offensive line is going to benefit from better injury luck. Joe Mixon, look, they didn't have to give him a contract extension after they traded, a seventh-round pick for him? So at first I was like, oh, they gave up nothing to get him. He's probably going to get cut anyway, but then they immediately re-signed him. Dameon Pierce just doesn't really fit into what this offense wants to do, so maybe he gets traded, but who else is there to take away opportunities from Joe Mixon as that bell cow running back in this offense? So we saw with the 49ers that they can take an offense or a player with a three-down skill set at running back and put him into a three-down role, what they did with Christian McCaffrey. You know, the Houston Texans are the 49ers of the South with Slowick coming over from that system. So, yeah, Joe Mixon is a three-down workload workhorse in an up-ascending offense. I love it.
I love that you just brought up the offensive line, Erickson, because I failed to mention, man, like when Devin Singletary was the starter in this offense, we're talking about a Houston offensive line because that's also the upgrade here. Mixon's going to be running by an offensive line that after week 9 last year was 12th in adjusted yards before contact per attempt. So it's wheels up, baby.
Where for both these veteran running backs specifically, D-Bro, like what range are you going to have them ranked in, do you think? Are we talking like back end RB2s in terms of where you draft them? A little higher, a little lower? Like what kind of range are you thinking?
For Joe Mixon and what, Derrick Henry?
Yeah, for the two running backs.
Dude, I've got both of them top 10 right now. Like I've got Joe Mixon at RB9.
Okay, so I'm way low.
Yeah, RB9, and I've got Derrick Henry at RB7, and people might, snub their nose at that. I just talked, Baltimore's going to score a crap ton of touchdowns, and it's going to run through Derrick Henry. So you're telling me, what did Gus have last year? No, Ryan, you probably know this off the 13 rushing touchdowns, I think? Like Derrick Henry's going to crush, dude.
Yeah, it was like 12 or 12-ish in that range. I don't know that I would go like that aggressively in terms of like a ranking, but what I like especially about Derrick Henry is I think that you can get him later than like I will be ranking him. I think I'll be able to wait a round or two where I would, naturally take him and still get him and consider that a really good value. So just quickly, Erickson, where do you have those guys ranked roughly?
So I'm higher on Mixon. So I have him as RB9. I'm a little bit lower on Derrick Henry. I have him RB 17. And I admit that could totally destroy me. And it comes down to touchdowns. But because at the end of the day, though, I know Derrick Henry, if there's a game where the Ravens fall behind, like Derrick Henry's not doing anything in that game. So like that's one concern I have from him, which is that the receiving usage is not there. It's not going to be there. It's never been there with Lamar Jackson at quarterback. So I think that makes him more volatile. But in those games where the Ravens are running up the scoreboard and they're feeding Derrick Henry, yeah, he's going to have monster games.
I think I'll probably have him somewhere in between you guys. You know, maybe that RB12-ish range back end. RB1, Erickson, give me your reliable vets.
Yeah, so this is the canned food group, as I like to call them. Because, hey, you don't know if the food in the fridge is good, but you know all that canned food you have, you got years to eat that stuff. So you'll be fine. So when John sent us the show sheet, the first guy would have popped up as reliable, always exceed expectations, forever, never a bride, always a bridesmaid, Devin Singletary. Look, he's a starting running back that nobody wants, but he always exceeds expectations. Look, he's never finished through five seasons worse than RB35 in PPR. You know what his ECR ADP is? RB35. And he's a starting running back. He's slated to be the Giants starting running back this year. Now, is that the best role you could ask for? No, not necessarily. The Giants have a lot of problems on offense, but Devin Singletary has shown at all levels that he can be a capable running back. Use him on all three downs. He's, again, master of none, but he can do everything. Jack of all trades. And when you're looking at the depth chart with the Giants, I do like Tyron Tracy, the guy they drafted in the fifth round as like a sleeper, but he's very inexperienced. He's played 1 year at running back last season. So I can't imagine he's going to take over the starting role in week one, put him out in pass pro to protect against protect Daniel Jones, where Singletary can do all those things. So if you're going with a zero RB approach and you need someone that you can get later on because of how cheap Devin Singletary is going outside the top 30 running backs. Like, I just don't see how he's not going to at least give you something on your return on investment where you're going to be able to draft him, especially in the beginning of the season. So if you're taking more shots on some of these upside receivers that you're not sure how the depth chart's going to take out, you can take Devin Singletary as your RB2. And you can start him week one pretty confidently. He's going to get the majority of touches in the Giants backfield. Again, last season under Brian Daboll in Buffalo, Singletary was the RB20 on 228 touches. You can get over 200 touches for a running back going outside the top 30. So Devin Singletary, I think that he's a very reliable guy that you can draft very, very late. Michael Pittman Jr., I just think he's an alpha in the Colts offense. Anthony Richardson's coming back. And the thing with Michael Pittman last year, look, 30% target share. That was the fourth highest among all wide receivers. They added A.D. Mitchell, but A.D. Mitchell's not a targeter. He's a guy that's going to stretch the field and improve the overall offensive efficiency, not necessarily take away targets from Michael Pittman. So if anything, it's going to create more opportunities for scoring for this offense in general. And that's what held Michael Pittman Jr. back last season. Only had four touchdowns. So he needs better touchdown variance. So if that works in his favor, if Anthony Richardson does take a leap forward and really delivers as the QB5, potentially, like his ADP and ECR ranking is, I think Michael Pittman can kind of graduate, I guess, in kind of a similar way to DK Metcalf into that higher ceiling at wide receiver. But at worst, he's going to be in that wide receiver 2 range. And then last but not least, it's Amari Cooper, the guy that nobody seems to want to draft. And last time we saw him, he was like putting up 300 yards in the playoffs with Joe Flacco as his quarterback. Look, he played with four different quarterbacks last year and still finished 10th in receiving yards. He was second in receptions of 20 yards or more behind only Tyreek Hill. 10th highest air yard share. Elijah Moore, Jerry Judy, David Njoku's a tight end. Like, are you afraid that these guys are really going to supplant Amari Cooper as the alpha in this offense? And what if we get Deshaun Watson, a better Deshaun Watson? Not necessarily even a Houston Texans Deshaun Watson, but a better version of Watson. Look, the five games that Watson played last year with with Amari Cooper, 23% target share, 42% air yard share. He's averaging just under 100 receiving yards per game, 15 fantasy points per game. That was sixth best at the position. So Amari Cooper, again, another guy that a lot of people I don't think really want to draft, but I'm like, I'll take Amari Cooper. Like, he's been really productive everywhere he's gone. So I like Amari Cooper a lot.
Debra, I want to ask you about Cooper because you and Erickson are actually pretty close in your rankings on Michael Pittman, but Cooper is where you really differentiate. Erickson currently has him wide receiver 14, and ooh, you have him wide receiver 30. That's in half PPR on the site. So you're much lower on him, Debra.
Yeah, I've just got him in a long tier. Like, after a wide receiver 17, I've got a long tier of guys that were, they could finish anywhere from a mid wide receiver 2 to a high end 3. And there's just other guys in that tier. Like, I'd rather make the bet on a few other wide receivers in certain offenses than Amari Cooper. And this is not, I won't disparage anything Erickson said about the volume expectations and stuff. This just kind of comes back to, and maybe a little bit of foreshadowing, Erickson's going to have to win me over with Deshaun Watson, because what we've seen out of Deshaun Watson outside of Houston has not been fantastic. Now, his standalone value, you know, could be a little bit better than I think maybe Cooper's, but Cooper last year, yes, the volume is going to be there. I just question, is the ceiling and stuff going to be there? And the other part of this is the step we took David Njoku take over the back half of the season. I'll be very curious if he continues that into this year. And if he does, maybe he does eat into Cooper's production just a little bit, but that's not how I'm forecasting it just as of yet.
We'll have a little more conversation on Deshaun Watson coming up in just a second. But first, the NFL draft is over and the teams are set. It's time to start looking ahead to the NFL season with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Get a jump start on the season with futures bets on division winners, win totals, stat leaders, and so much more. Explore the latest odds on which rookies will have the most passing or receiving yards, or check out futures for your favorite teams and players on the DraftKings Sportsbook app. You know, the first thing I'm looking at is my guy, Lamar Jackson, for MVP yet again. And actually, jokes about being a Ravens homer aside, I do find myself kind of confused why he only has the fifth best odds to win MVP coming off of his second time winning that award the season he just had. Almost a unanimous winner last year, just one vote keeping him from doing so. He's behind Mahomes at plus 600, which makes sense. Then it's Josh Allen plus 800, Burrow plus 900, Stroud plus 900. Then finally Lamar at plus 1,000. Considering Lamar has two MVPs already, those other three ahead of him have combined for zero. You know which way I'm going on that one. However you plan to bet your NFL futures, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code FANTASYPROS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code FANTASYPROS only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
My Lamar Jackson MVP ticket from last year paid for my wedding suit. So shout out to Lamar.
You'll love to see it. You'll love to see it.
The second he resigned, signed the extension in Baltimore, I went and bet all of his stuff, and that paid off well. D-Bro, we don't need to belabor the point, but am I crazy for thinking It's weird that he's the fifth best odds given that he's won the award twice?
It is kind of crazy. He should be top three at worst. You want to put Mahomes and Allen up there, that's fine, but Lamar should be the third guy on the board.
Mahomes, fine. I will never argue, against him having the best odds. But, even Allen, Allen's never won the award.
No, I don't disagree at all. I don't disagree.
And Lamar might have better weapons this year. So, anyways, I just found that really surprising. Erickson, give me your league winners.
Yeah, I'm going to have two quarterbacks and one running back on my league winners list. So I'm going to start with Caleb Williams, rookie quarterback for the Chicago Bears, because for me, he checks off all the boxes I'm looking for in a late round quarterback, even though he just happens to be a rookie. So it's not really, it's his first year. I think Caleb Williams can do a lot of not necessarily what we've seen from a lot of first overall picks, because first overall picks usually go to bad teams, teams that are horrible and the situation's horrible. Caleb Williams is he's in one of the best positions for any quarterback, let alone a rookie quarterback. So I think with Jaden Daniels, obviously these guys are going to be compared a lot going 1-2 in the NFL draft. Caleb Williams is a pretty good rusher as well. 44 rushing yards per game. He's a dual threat. And I think specific with Caleb Williams, where he can potentially get the most about a fantasy production is near the goal line. 27 rushing touchdowns in 2.5 seasons as a starter at the college level, two different schools. And I brought this up on a couple different podcasts, but DeAndre Swift is a running back that teams don't like to give the ball to at the goal line. Look at the last 2 years, Jalen Hurts, Jamal Williams, 16 plus rushing touchdowns between the two guys. Who is their teammates? DeAndre Swift, both times. So if this team is going to use, I don't anticipate the Bears using DeAndre Swift at the goal line. If anything, I could see it being a Roschon Johnson, or it could just be Caleb Williams calling his number like he did at the college level. So I really like Caleb Williams a lot for those reasons. And obviously layering in all the great weapons he already has, familiarity with Shane Waldron in that offensive system. I just think that, the arrows are pointing up for Caleb Williams to really hit the ground running as a quarterback in year one, and as a fantasy quarterback, and someone that you're going to be able to draft outside the top 12, which I think really makes it a league winning proposition, because the rest of your roster is going to be strong, and then you put the cherry on top with a strong quarterback. And that's kind of the same thing, the mindset with Deshaun Watson, another quarterback's going really, really late. He's outside the top 20 in ECR and ADP. And for me, it just comes back to looking at the numbers from last year, because obviously the film, when you're watching him play, he still doesn't look like he's back, but he was also dealing with a shoulder injury. Expectations are that his shoulder should be fully rehabbed from last year. Andrew Berry came out and said that they have high expectations for Watson. They have Kenton Dorsey coming in from Buffalo, who, used Josh Allen a lot at the goal line, used his leg. So I think Deshaun Watson's in a point in his career where if he plays bad again, he's not going to be their quarterback anymore. They have Jameis Winston, they have Tyler Huntley. So he has to perform at least average. And I think that means he's going to use his legs, because he did that last year. 28.5 rushing yards per game last year. Look, they went 5-1 when he was the starting quarterback. And in his 5 full starts, he was averaging 18 fantasy points per game. And he was a top 12 quarterback in 3 of his 6 games played. So I get that Watson has had a lot of issues. But again, he's another year removed from missing so much time, removing from the shoulder injury. So I think with the rushing upside and an offense that we saw Joe Flacco average 22 fantasy points per game in, he's got weapons. He can run. So that's my selling pitch on Deshaun Watson. And then last but not least, Zamir White. White's in the driver's seat to be the Raiders' bell cow running back. Averaged 14.1 fantasy points per game, basically right outside the top 12 during his last four starts. Under 100 rushing yards per game, 70% of the offensive snaps, 23 touches per game in those last four starts with Antonio Pierce as the returning, as the head coach. So Pierce is coming back as the head coach. They trust Zamir White. They didn't draft anybody until Dylan Lauby in the sixth round of this year's draft. They brought in Alexander Mattison, the meat shield for running back. So I think that you shouldn't be afraid of Alexander Mattison or Dylan Lauby really eating into Zamir White. So my only concern if White is, you know, he didn't necessarily, you know, displant or supplant Josh Jacobs as the starting running back. Josh Jacobs got hurt and then Zamir White took the role, but he delivered. Like, not every running back delivers when they get the opportunity to do so. So he did it last year. The coaching staff clearly trusts him, and it's an offense and team, at least for me, it looked like a team that they, hey, we have questionable quarterback play with Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell. We want to run the football. We want to play defense. They bolster the offensive line, adding in Jackson Powers Johnson. Luke Getsy's obviously familiar with running the football. So yeah, I think Zamir White still being kind of undervalued, and it would not be surprised me at all if we look up and he's like, oh wow, top 12 running back, Zamir White.
Debra, I want to ask you about a couple of these guys. I want to start with Caleb, because you were, I mean, I'm not going to say you were down on him, because I know you kind of pushed back against that narrative. You did rank him lower sort of amongst the rookie quarterbacks and in rookie drafts than consensus had him as kind of like clear 101 in super flex drafts. You didn't have him there. As far as this year, not even just looking at Dynasty, is he close to a QB1 for you in terms of how you rank him? Because to Erickson's point, you will never find a better situation for a quarterback this talented to be stepping into right away. I mean, it just doesn't happen with the number one overall pick that you get to throw to DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Rome Odunze, let alone, you know, the pieces on the offensive line and the running game, all that stuff. So there's a really strong case to be made. I think position is really strong. So there's a lot of options kind of in that back end of QB1, high-end QB2 territory. But is he making a case for that for you?
Oh, he absolutely is. I mean, he's my QB 13 right now, but I think the conversation for him starts at QB 11, QB 10 range. And yes, everybody talked about it like I was such a Caleb Williams hater, and I'm just acknowledging the range of outcomes for his career and his projection to the NFL. If he hits the ceiling, he can absolutely be a QB 1. The only thing I would say pushing back at all about Caleb, or at least the concerns about him this year, is while we're all talking about the shiny, beautiful toys that he has to play with as far as running back and all the wide receivers, Cole Kmet and stuff, the offensive line, I still do have a few questions on as far as what does that look like this year? You know, do they get better play at center? Does Nate Davis not look like one of the worst guards in the NFL this season? So interior pressure could be a thing. The offensive line, for all the great upgrades that Chicago has made in the offseason, the offensive line is kind of still lock set, and it's just they're carrying it over to next year and just hoping for better play, or that Caleb can make better out of that considering his ability with his legs. So the upside is there. I'm just going to sit here and also preach a little bit of caution, although I do have him ranked as my QB13.
Erickson, and looking at both these quarterbacks, like Deshaun is obviously somebody that you can get late. Like, he will be your QB2 on your roster in all likelihood because of where he's going. Would you be comfortable if Caleb is your QB1?
I think so. I think that it's important to always put the context of the early season schedule, I think, in like a redraft format, because if you draw really bad matchups to start the year, like, you're going to have to pivot from away from that quarterback. Like, even last year, CJ Stroud, as great as a late round quarterback he wasn't someone that you necessarily needed to draft. He was someone you would go off the waivers because week one, who did he play at Baltimore? And he did not put up fantasy numbers in that game. So it's just kind of something to keep in mind. What does the opening schedule look like? But I would feel comfortable with Caleb Williams being my QB1, especially if I go late round. I think you can go. There are so many other players I want to draft that I can get a running back, a receiver, even tight end earlier that I want to push off quarterback. And the fact that I can get a Caleb Williams late, I can get a Jaden Daniels late, and even Deshaun Watson. Again, I don't feel comfortable with him as my QB1, but look, if he's putting up rushing production, like, he can help you out in a pinch if you need it. So yeah, I think that I'm definitely trying to embrace this late round quarterback strategy. And I think that helps find league winners that easier because your roster is going to be that much stronger and you layer on that quarterback as the final piece.
Debro, I know you want the opportunity to gush a little bit about Zamir White.
I mean, he's going to eat this year, guys. Like, I've talked about Zamir White the entire offseason, and I don't really understand why we're so slow, or at least feels like consensus is slow to kind of catch up to all of this. Zamir White's one of the biggest winners from the NFL draft. Erickson framed this perfectly. He's going to get a crap ton of volume, man. Like, How does this not have, like, outside of Zamir White not being able to stay healthy, how does this fail? Like, tell me, guys. Like, well, are we that worried about what Amir Abdullah taking past game snaps? Worried about Dylan Lobby, who wasn't drafted until what, the fifth, sixth round? I mean, Zamir White played in three of his four starts. He played at least 70% of the snaps. Amir Abdullah was there last year. Do we think Lobby hops Amir Abdullah? But again, talking about Pierce, if he's going to go with veteran running backs, does he automatically even get on the field? Like, does he even hop Amir Abdullah on the depth chart? And if he doesn't, Zamir White's not coming off the field. So I just see a clear path to a ton of volume. And I don't like to do this kind of stuff because I understand it's only a four-game sample. But for people to wrap their heads around the volume that Zamir was seeing, if we project this over the entire season, which we know Antonio Pierce wants to run the dang ball. I'm not saying that Luke Getsy is not also going to run the ball with this offense and the quarterbacks that they have. Zamir White, full season pace, was on pace. And I get it, it's only four starts. He was on pace for 357 freaking carries over a season. Even shade that down, I'd say he's a lock for 300 plus touches at the bare minimum. I mean, am I wrong with that, Erickson? Like, do you see him getting less than that in this offense?
No, not if he stays healthy. I mean, again, the four game samples that we had, he was over 23 touches per game.
Insane.
And he was playing 70% of the snaps. And I just want to really hit home that, you know, he was someone that delivered with his opportunity last year. There are plenty of running backs that get chances, and then they get volume, and then they still suck. And then they just don't get it done. Yep. Like, Zamir White actually played well and gave the team the confidence under a new GM. And I think it's even more telling, like, Tom Telesco, he loves to draft running backs. Like, looking at him historically, all the running backs he drafted with the Los Angeles Chargers, what Zamir White put on film for a different GM convinced him, hey, we don't need to invest at running back until they were the last team to draft a running back. Dylan Lobby was the last running back drafted. So it's one of these weird things, or at least in the sixth round. So it's just, I think you're right. We're just being delayed. The market's delayed with Zamir White. Now, I do think that there is a price where I could be priced out as Zamir White, because it answers in the, okay, it's just projected volume and now I'm drafting Zamir White in the second round. Like, no thanks. But where he's going now, outside the top 20 running backs, like, yeah, like, I want to want as much Zamir White as possible.
And just to also add on top of this, because we are talking about, he is framed as a league winner, and people could push back and say, is it really that? When he was the starter last year, RB12 in fantasy points per game. Ceiling's there.
And that's where you have him ranked right now, RB12. And rankings on the site. I guess it's early May, so that's,
I think you're looking at standard, because I've got him at half PPR. I've got him at RB15.
I was looking at standard, but that's the default that pops up. So that's what I was looking at. All right, let's go to D-Bros league winners.
Yeah, we've talked about rushing quarterbacks and these rookie guys. I do not understand Jaden Daniels' ADP. He is an absolute league winner. We talk about, what do you want to garner out of league-winning quarterbacks? And we always, the first thing we talk about in a lot of instances is not only the passing touchdowns and the passing volume, it's freaking rushing, baby! Like, people last year, we did all this crap with Anthony Richardson, and yes, okay, he got hurt. When he played last year, he was on his way to a top 8, top 10 season. Jaden Daniels is going to do the same freaking thing this year. The rushing just alone, if he plays all the games, I'm telling you right now, if he plays all the games just with the rushing utility, he's going to be a top 12 quarterback. Now you talk about the offensive environment with Cliff Kingsbury. They're going to lean on two specific things, and we saw this in Arizona with Kyler Murray. It's going to be deep passing, and it's going to be play action. And Jaden Daniels is fantastic at both of those. Last year in college, he led the freaking nation in deep passing grade, as well as deep adjusted completion rate, as well as being fourth in PFF passing grade on play action dropbacks and third in play action yards per attempt. I don't understand, because, look, you're out there, and he's in my best ball article of players to target right now that's live on the site. He is currently ranked outside the top 12 quarterbacks. I don't understand it. I expect that to eventually correct, but I still think that people are not going to be high enough on his upside this season. The two guys I got to mention here, I mean, look, Zay Flowers. We make this bet year after year after year, and it is a strong freaking bet to make. You bet on second-year wide receivers. You bet on third-year wide receivers. These guys will continue to add parts or pieces to their games. And what we saw at Zay Flowers last year is the ability to gobble up freaking targets. With Mark Andrews on the field last year, Zay Flowers saw a 23.6% target share, which was 18th best amongst wide receivers. He saw a 26.2% first read share. And yes, okay, he was 40th amongst that span with Mark Andrews playing. In fantasy points per yards per in fantasy points per route run, excuse me, he got one end zone target in those 10 games, one end zone target. But when Mark Andrews was out last year, we saw Zay Flowers, so week 11 through the rest of the season, including the playoffs, six end zone targets. They're going to use him more in near the goal line. He's going to get a crap ton of volume also because Odell Beckham is gone. So we're going to see that volume's got to go somewhere. Do we really think that Bateman's going to do it at this point in his career? We're really going to put that on Nelson Agholor? Okay, Isaiah Likely. Is we're going to see enough 12 personnel for that? Talked about they're not checking it down to the running backs. It's got to go somewhere, baby, and it's going to go to Zay Flowers. So I think his ceiling is sky high. I will not be surprised at the end of this season if we look up and he finished the year as a top 15. Hell, even a wide receiver won this year. Last guy I'll bring up here is George Pickens. And he's not being valued. I still do not think that the value is being baked in enough about Deontay Johnson leaving. Who is going to command targets in this Steelers passing attack? And you can talk about, okay, well, you're worried about Justin Fields and you're worried about Russell Wilson. We've seen wide receivers still produce with both of those quarterbacks last season. DJ Moore had no issues producing last year. Cortland Sutton had no problems spiking freaking touchdowns. So I don't care who their quarterback is this year. George Pickens, we've already seen how this should go without Deontay Johnson. Last year, without Deontay, so weeks 2 through 5, 10th in target share, 1st in air yard share, 8th in yards per route run. He was producing as the wide receiver 16 in fantasy points per game, and that was with worse quarterback play than we will see this year, because I'm sorry, Mitch Trubisky was never it. Kenny Pickett, I'm sorry, Steelers fans, but you found out the hard way, he was never it either. So with, I don't care who's under center, George Pickens is a smash pick this year, and he has a ton of upside that's not being baked into his current rankings or ADP.
I am with you on Jaden Daniels for this year. I've been a little hesitant to be aggressive about adding him in my rookie drafts because maybe I'm just playing scared, but I'm so nervous about the frame and his reckless running style and just the longevity and how he will hold up. But in a one-year sample, like, anybody can get hurt, so I'm not really that worried about it just, you know, going into this first season. And you're right. I mean, it's a cheat code. We don't need to, you know, rehash that. Everybody knows how valuable running is for quarterbacks, and he's so good at it, and he's going to do it. And he also does have weapons in that offense, so it's not like he can only run. He's going to be able to throw, you know, up the deep ball to Terry McLaurin, so I'm with you on Daniels Erickson. I know you agree with him too. You guys both have him as QB1s right now, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I would have put Daniels on my list if D-Bro hadn't beat me to the show sheet. So,
well, you
were
at a party this weekend, okay? Don't blame that on me.
I have Daniels ranked ahead of Caleb Williams. So, like, that's where if I had to pick one for fantasy, I'm still picking Jaden Daniels from a redraft perspective.
Where do you have him ranked at right now, Erickson?
I have Daniels QB11.
Oh, nice. I have QB10. Yeah. We're handholding,
baby. But the thing is, too, I don't think his ADP is ever going to be there. I think it's just going to be a late round quarterback that
I agree.
It's weird because I think the fact that he went behind Caleb Williams, it kind of like dims his shine a little bit. It's like, oh, he wasn't the first overall pick. But I mean, in any different year, if Caleb Williams was not in this class, Jaden Daniels would have been the 101. Like, he probably would have been the first overall pick. And then he would just be viewed in a different light. He would be viewed as, oh, this can't miss prospect, etc. So I think Jaden Daniels is going to be a value all fantasy season.
Erickson, I want to get your quick opinion on Zay Flowers, because I feel like even throughout this offseason, he's just not a name that I don't think has gotten discussed, at least on the episodes I've been hosting a lot on this show. I mean, it's the Ravens, to Debro's point, they didn't go out and add a big receiver. They didn't draft one early. They took Tez Walker, but that was, you know, the fourth round. They extended Rashad Bateman. It wasn't a crazy deal, you know, and they lost Odell. So the opportunities there, it's hard for me to sort of reconcile saying that I think Derrick Henry is going to have like 18 rushing touchdowns and that also Flowers is going to score enough touchdowns to be a league winner. I think the catches and the yardage will be there, but there are mouths to feed in that offense in the passing game, let alone how much they run the ball when they're up close. So I'm a little, I want to hear your opinion, because I sort of see the case for and against Flowers as a true league winner.
Well, I think that part of it does to do with his price tag. Like, I mean, what he's, I'm looking on like Underdog, for example, like the best ball, like wide receiver 25. Like that seems very, very low for a receiver that essentially broke out as a rookie, as a first round pick, and projects to, if not be the number one receiver on his team, but very, very close, like him and Mark Andrews. I think that if you run projections, I think it'd probably be pretty close between the two, given that Zay Flowers was seeing a 24% target share last year. A lot of his touches, and correct me if I'm wrong, Warren, but a lot of it was like schemed up for him, like getting him short passes. I think that opening things up downfield for him would just kind of unlock his next game. And when he came out last year, he reminded me a lot of Antonio Brown, like just a shifty receiver that can kind of do it all, win at all three levels of the field. And yes, like the touchdown thing, right? Go to back to, or 2 years ago, Courtland Sutton was my guy. He's going to catch all these touchdowns. He doesn't do anything. The next year, what does he do? All he does is catch touchdowns. Like touchdowns are volatile. So you want to buy the dip on guys that put up every single stat you like that just didn't score touchdowns. And when Lamar's your quarterback, you feel good about it. So it's very weird that you can draft a receiver that was good as a rookie, as a first round pick, that has a good quarterback outside the top 24. Like, I think you just got to take a step back and be like, I know Mark Andrews is there, so maybe he's not the clear cut number one, but if he's going to be scoring touchdowns, then that's not going to matter. It's going to make up the difference in an offense that we could see very concentrated between Mark Andrews, Zay Flowers, and Derrick Henry.
I didn't realize his ADP was wide receiver 30. That surprises me.
I guess the only other thing, too, is he was being investigated for a domestic assault. So at least the last time I checked, there wasn't any.
But
yeah, so he wasn't charged with anything.
I believe the investigation has kind of been dropped or moved on from him.
Yeah, I don't know the exact way to phrase it.
But I think he's in the clear as far as the last that I saw, too. So
yeah.
That's not really a concern anymore. Do you just want to make a quick note? If you've got any dynasty or best ball drafts on the horizon, or just want to see how the NFL draft has affected fantasy football values across the league, use our mock draft simulator tool at fantasypros.com/simulator. It's a fast and free way to practice for any kind of draft, including dynasty startup drafts and rookie drafts. Again, that's at fantasypros.com/simulator.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Guys, let's move to our sleepers. Debra, who you got?
Well, I'm going to lead this off with a guy that I've talked about since early in the offseason, and nothing's changed to push me off him. That's Jaleel McLaughlin. And I put this out after the drafting of Bo Nix. He's going to get 120 screen targets. I don't think that he gets that, but he might not be far off, people. You look at Jaleel McLaughlin, nothing's changed in this backfield. Yes, they drafted Audric Estime in the fifth round. I don't care because he's not going to play passing downs. Yes, Javonte Williams is still there. Again, I'm not worried about that. He's not going to play most of the passing downs. What I care about McLaughlin is, one, the targets, and as well as the efficiency. We've seen this iteration, or at least previous iterations of a Sean Payton offense. They use running backs in the passing game a ton. That's going to happen again this year. And Jaleel McLaughlin has been uber efficient. What do we see last year, boys? 14th in explosive run rate amongst 68 qualifying running backs, 5th in missed tackles forced per attempt, 4th in yards after contact per attempt. Oh, and guess what? On top of that, 4th in yards per route run. So all he needs is more opportunity. And if he eats into the red zone role in this offense with a quarterback that we're not projecting, nobody's out there projecting that Bo Nix is going to be stretching the field and going deep a ton. Okay, then that means a lot of McLaughlin time. And again, we talked about Jerry Jeudy earlier in this show. He's gone as well. Targets got to go somewhere, baby. And I think McLaughlin's going to eat them this year. Staying with, or at least getting back on the rookie train, Ladd McConkey, I got to talk about him here because, again, we're talking about passing attacks to buy into that where there are really freaking good quarterback play. Justin Herbert, we can all debate about how much volume is available for the Chargers passing attack. We cannot question Justin Herbert's talent as well as we can't question Ladd McConkey's talent. He got the draft capital. He tested fantastically. He crushed every part of the pre-draft process. And if you look at his final season at Georgia, 98th percentile in receiving grade, 98th percentile versus single coverage. I'm not telling you that he's going to go out. He's going to get 140, 150 targets, but can he get 110? Can he get 120? Can he outpace where people are talking about him in the wide receiver 4-5 realm? I absolutely believe that. The touchdowns and the volume surprise in an offense he's competing with targets against who? Josh Palmer, Quentin Johnston, who couldn't earn volume or do anything with it last year, Will Disley, Hayden Hurst, DJ Chark. Yeah.
You didn't mention Alex Erickson?
No, brother. I figured you were going to, you know, mention cousin? The family member. I mean, exactly. You got to bring up the cousin. I'm just going to leave that for you to do, Erickson, because I'm actually kind of surprised you're not wearing your bolster as the only show today. But, you know, Erickson's notwithstanding. The last guy I will mention here, another rookie, is Jonathan Brooks. RB40 and ECR? Come on, man. Give me a break. Chuba Hubbard, this coaching staff has no ties to Chuba Hubbard or Miles Sanders. The guy that even gave Miles Sanders his contract, yes, I know Dave Tepper shelled out the quiche, but outside of that, Dan Morgan, he didn't give that contract to Miles Sanders last year. This coaching staff has talked about they want to run the ball. I'm not telling you that Jonathan Brooks starts off the season getting bell cow usage and 20 to 25 touches a game. I don't think that. But can he be a guy that, considering this type of price point, you draft him as an RB3, hell, an RB4 in some drafts, and he's carrying you down the back half of the season coming off the ACL? I think that absolutely can happen. The coaching staff has already talked about they want to use him creatively. They've already talked about they believe in the run game. They're going to try to make things easier for Bryce Young. The offensive line plays a lot better. We've already seen in iterations of Dave Canellis's imprint on an offense. Last year, Rashad White, 7th in opportunity share. Canellis the year before that as the QB coach standing on the sidelines in Seattle, watching Kenneth Walker rank 13th in opportunity share. Jonathan Brooks, if he takes over this backfield in short order or earlier than even what I'm projecting, he's going to crush his ADP.
I think with the Brooks one, like, makes sense why he's going lower. Like, I think the injury, like, folks are assuming he's not going to be at full strength to start the year. And so you're drafting a guy who's unproven to what was, you know, one of the worst offenses in the league a year ago. And you don't expect to get much production early on in the season. It's just, with rookies, it sometimes sets them back if they are, you know, kind of injured early in camp and stuff like that. So I the case for him, I mean, you're listing him as a sleeper, right? You're not saying he's a guy that you have to go out and draft as an RB1. So the upside is there. So I think that's fair, but I do understand the early ADP at least, and I kind of expect that to go up. They did also sign, or reports that they're going to sign, Rashad Penny came out earlier today. So another
guy that can't stay healthy and was buried on the Eagles depth
chart. Another back
in
that backfield, not scared off from so worried about Penny.
Man, I do think it's interesting that right after they drafted him, they signed another running back. Like, I know he has a connection with Canales, but it's just a matter of,
that, you know, could be more damning for Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders if we're keeping 100 here.
It's just, the question mark is just, what is the timeline actually going to be? Like, is it week 1? Is he actually ready? And when, what does ready mean? Is it like he's out there, but he doesn't look effective? Because ideally for me as like a fantasy manager, be like, I want him to be kind of in more of a committee to start the year, make his price suppressed. But then when he actually takes on like the bell cow role, like he's actually returning from his ACL, like he feels like he's effective, because the last thing you want is for him to get bell cow usage, but then he's not efficient. because he's not fully back. And this offense is kind of still finding its footing. So I think the Brooks timeline, kind of trying to read what the team is doing, will be a really interesting, you know, debate and dichotomy like during this draft season.
Well, a different injury, but like think about Tony Pollard, right? He said that he wasn't healthy until week 11. And so he hurt a lot of fantasy teams in the first part of the season when he wasn't fully healthy, but he was healthy enough to be on the field. He just wasn't healthy enough to be himself. So just something to keep in mind with Brooks. I do want to ask you, Erickson, on Ladd, like as somebody who watched a lot of Greg Roman offenses in Baltimore,
I figured this
they do still throw. like I'm more worried about what Roman does for Herbert's fantasy value, but for Herbert's top target, like they're going to throw enough that if he's the clear number one guy, and again, like to Debro's point, who's fighting him for that number one spot, and you're getting those passes, even if they're fewer, you're getting them from a guy like Justin Herbert, and you're as talented as we all think Ladd McConkey is. Like, that's just really exciting to me. So I really like that as a sleeper, even as a rookie. What do you think about that, Erickson?
I mean, if anyone's going to break Puka Nacua's week one target record, it would be Ladd McConkey for a rookie. I'm just like, it probably only because the offense stops it. Like, the counting stats in the offense are going to stop Ladd McConkey. But from a market share perspective, like, we're going to look up every single week, 35% target share, 40% target share. Because whenever Justin Herbert drop backs the throw, it's going to be to McConkey like every other time. So if the passing attempts, the total, the counting stat, like that's the one thing that McConkey might not get from a ceiling perspective. It's just like the total counting stats aren't there because the offense just doesn't throw the ball enough. But from an efficiency standpoint, from a touchdown perspective, like he's going to check off every single box. So I love the McConkey pick.
I think you could see a very similar, eerily similar stat line between two guys that I've talked about on this show. Ladd McConkey, I won't be shocked, and this guy finishes wide receiver 31 last year. I won't be shocked if he ends up with a very Zay Flowers-esque stat line to end his rookie season. Which here, if he ends up as wide receiver 31, he's still going to be a really, really good value because he's being drafted in a lot of spots and ranked as a low-end wide receiver 4, high-end 5.
I think that's a good comp in terms of what the stat line might look like, you know, going about it a different way, but kind of getting to that same end point by the end of the season. Erickson, give me your sleepers.
Yeah, so we've got three sleeper running backs. I'm going to start with Roschon Johnson for the Chicago Bears. Again, bringing back to the fact that a lot of teams have not used DeAndre Swift as a goal line running back. So I mentioned that could be Caleb Williams that really calls his own name near the goal line, or it could be Roschon, 219 pounds. He could have been the goal line back last year. He had 6 carries inside the 5-yard line. The only other running back that had more was Deontay Foreman, who's now in the Cleveland Browns. Khalil Herbert is in a contract year. He was not drafted by the current head coach, by the current regime, by the current anything. Like, he's just on the roster. So even though I think Khalil Herbert is still a really good running back, the Bears would not stop talking about how much they love Roschon last year. And that reminds you of how much Sean McVay loved Kyren Williams. But what happened? He got hurt. Last year, Roschon Johnson got a concussion that he had to miss several weeks. It wasn't one of these, oh, you missed the first week, you're clear protocol, you're good to go. He had to miss a lot of time, and I think that set him back when the Bears really wanted to unleash him as their three-down running back. So, yes, they obviously brought DeAndre Swift in, but I don't know. DeAndre Swift, I just feel like he's been kind of rubbing teams the wrong way. Like, with the Eagles last year, like, they didn't use him at the goal line. He was pretty effective to start the year, but then as the team kind of, the offense kind of sputtered out, so did DeAndre Swift, and then they didn't re-sign him. And then instead, they signed a massive contract to Saquon Barkley. And they're like, all right, Swift, you can walk. Like, you can go sign with the Chicago Bears. And he did. So I think that obviously Swift being there keeps Roschon Johnson's ADP low. But Swift also stayed healthy for the first time in his career last season. So I'm very skeptical that he can do that again, especially if he's seeing a lot of early down touches. So I like Roschon Johnson as a potential sleeper, especially if he carves out that goal line role in a Bears offense that I'm at least excited about. Next guy here is Chase Brown for the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals were the other team that we were kind of waiting for the pin to drop. Okay, they draft this running back here with Zach Moss, but they actually didn't really add anything else to that backfield. So it's really the Chase Brown versus Zach Moss show, which I'm thinking about all the debates going into the year when they ultimately just end up signing some other running back off the street to be the RB1. But until now, I think it is the Chase Brown versus Zach Moss debate. And I'm very much on the Chase Brown side of things. Look, last year, in a parallel universe where Jonathan Taylor doesn't get injured or doesn't hold out, Zach Moss never even sniffs the field. Like, he's a total afterthought. And before he was traded to the Colts, Zach Moss was nothing. Like, he had no dynasty value. He had no value whatsoever. Nobody was talking about Zach Moss. Like, we were hyping up other Colts running backs when it looked like Zach Moss maybe had a potential to be the running back after the JT news came out that he was going to hold out and miss time. but ultimately it worked in his favor and he did deliver with a couple big games. But after that, he really sputtered out when he got other opportunities down the stretch. And I think it's actually interesting to bring this up here. So in his last start, it actually came against the Cincinnati Bengals. He played 84% of the snaps. He had 13 carries for 28 yards for 2.2 yards per carry. I just think that this is the classic like plotter who is Zach Moss versus like the super explosive running back named Chase Brown, who posted one of Next Gen Stats' fastest ball carrier metrics last year on a touchdown reception. So I think if the Bengals are really looking for more juice at the running back position, I think it's Chase Brown, who he carried the workload in college. Like, it's not like this guy, oh, we can only give him 10 touches a week. Like, no, like he can take on a bigger workload. So I think that Chase Brown offers a lot of upside, especially if he ends up being the RB1 for the Cincinnati Bengals, an offense that overall I'm just super excited about with Joe Burrow back under center and healthy. And then last but not least, is Blake Corum, rookie running back. Look, he's the ultimate handcuff to Kyren Williams. It's just a bet on, okay, I don't think Kyren Williams can stay healthy all year long. You know, seeing a very high snap share, 80% snap share, one of the highest snap shares, only behind, I think, Christian McCaffrey last season. And they talked about Blake Corum basically when they drafted him. He's the carbon copy of Kyren Williams. They're like, we love Kyren Williams so much, we're going to draft his clone in Blake Corum. So if anything were to happen to Kyren, I think we would be like the next week in the weekly rankings. Oh, week 10's coming along. Blake Corum's going to start. Oh, he's a top 12 running back. Just like that. So I just think that type of upside, especially with Corum, who just is a running back for me, that he can do it all. Like, he's solid. I wouldn't say that he's elite at anything, but he's got really good vision, decent size. And I just think that he would absolutely go nuclear if there was an injury to Blake or to Kyren Williams ahead of him on the depth chart. So for that, I think that he has enough upside for me to be a sleeper that I really want to target.
Debra, who's your favorite of these three that Erickson just laid out? Roschon Johnson, Chase Brown, Blake Corum.
I think right now, considering the constitution of things, it's probably Chase Brown, just because I think that he can have the most standalone value just inherently, because again, I'm not a Zach Moss truther. I never have been. I don't plan on being one for 2024. I thought they were going to draft. I was with Erickson. I thought Cincinnati was going to take a shot on one of these running backs on day three, even. And they didn't do that. Now, who knows if, like, you know, the guy they wanted didn't fall to them and stuff. The Zach Moss signing just in general felt like one of those. And we see those every single year right before the NFL draft. It's like, let's sign somebody in case it's the break glass in case of emergency. Well, the emergency happened, and apparently Cincinnati's going to have to break the glass. But maybe it's Chase Brown stepping forward and not Zach Moss. And, oh, dear Lord, just because I said that, I'm never going to hear the end from Mike Mayer about Chase Brown.
let's wrap up with our deep sleepers. We'll just do one each here. Erickson, who is your deep sleeper?
It's the Green Bay Packers tight end one. And his name is not Luke Musgrave. It's Tucker Kraft for me.
Yes!
Last time we saw these guys play, the snap share was 85% for Tucker Kraft and Musgrave was at 28%. And every other ranking ADP I've seen is Luke Musgrave clearly ahead of Tucker Kraft. Luke Musgrave was drafted ahead of Tucker Kraft, but Tucker Kraft, when he got the opportunity last year to be the starter, he was better. He was better than Luke Musgrave. I thought he was better than Luke Musgrave before the draft happened last year. And I get draft capital dictates early season opportunity. And that's what the Packers did. Luke Musgrave opened up as the starter. But I think Kraft was better. I still think Kraft is better. So Kraft singles, baby. 2024. Let's go.
I'm fully with you. I love Kraft, and I know that Debra talked about that a lot last year as well. So we're definitely, I think, in lockstep on that one. Debra, who's your deep sleeper?
I love the Kraft call here, especially. Yeah, I mean, I said it as soon as he was drafted. I was like, this is what's going to happen. It's the same thing as the Ravens situation before. I said, look, your Hayden Hurst is Luke Musgrave. Your real guy, the Mark Andrews here, is Tucker Kraft. So I'm all on board with
Kraft
that.
Kraft singles, baby.
Love it. I love it. For all those lactose intolerant or not, you better take your pills because Kraft is coming, baby. Getting back on the rookie train here, my deep sleeper, and again, if we're not buying into the rushing attack for Cincinnati, let's go with the aerial attack, baby. It's Jermaine Burton. Talked about him all rookie and dynasty season. I'm drafting him everywhere right now, and I'm going to keep drafting him in redraft season. Jermaine Burton's got the talent, and I'm not going to discuss anything off-field and stuff like that. You know, you can argue with a wall or your cat or whoever you want to go talk to about that. But the talent is real for Jermaine Burton. The Cincinnati Bengals put third-round capital behind his name and said, we are totally fine with that. T. Higgins, I still don't think is a lock to sit here and make or be with this team in week one. And even if he is, Jermaine Burton starting in three wide receiver sets. Cincinnati uses 11 personnel at a top five clip. They do that every single year. That's not changing this year. Jermaine Burton is a stud. I mean, literally, you just go down his ledger as far as statistics go. He was 77th in separation percentage last year, 90th percentile in receiving grade against single coverage. The guy is a stud, and if he would have had better quarterback play in his final season at Alabama, the counting stats would have been even better. And if you want to talk about just the physical acumen and the talent alone, he should have gone, if off-the-field stuff was not even in the equation, he should have gone second round of the NFL draft, and he would have been in the first-round conversation. I fully believe that, just based off of his talent. So you're telling me that this player is currently being drafted and probably will continue, unless there's a T. Higgins move that is made, continue to be drafted outside the top 125, 150 players? Hell, he's even ranked right now outside of the top 175 per ECR. I'm going to draft a ton of Jermaine Burton this year.
I think too, you know, something I was looking at when it came to Burton was, so he had been training with TJ Houshmandzadeh, you know, someone that the Bengals organization trusts. And I think that he probably had some influence on, hey, like, you can trust in going after Jermaine Burton. I know that he's had some off the field concerns, but there was a trust component to this that the Bengals still felt like, hey, maybe we can risk that he falls into day three, you know, given that his draft stock had kind of fallen, they could maybe take a risk, but they're like, no, we got to take him round three. Like, we can't risk losing out on the talent, even amid some of these off the field concerns. So again, this guy could have gone even earlier if there weren't these concerns. So I think that it fits like a glove with this offense for Joe Burrow, Jermaine Burton. I love the call.
Did anybody see the video of Zach Taylor when they made that selection? If y'all haven't seen this, anybody watching this on YouTube, if you haven't seen that video, go, it's worth a Google. Go watch the video of when the Cincinnati Bengals selected Jermaine Burton. Zach Taylor is pulling his best, like, Brad Holmes, like, smashing the desk, like freaking out, man.
All right, we'll wrap up on that. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. Those were our must-draft players as we sit here in early May. For Debro and Erickson, I am Ryan Warmly. Thank you again for tuning in, and we'll see you again next time. Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football Podcast. If you love the show, the best free way to support us is by leaving a positive review on Apple Podcasts at fantasypros.com/review or on Spotify. Follow us on X, Instagram, and TikTok at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.